That's how he stays young. He's just over there all the time with that music pumping in him. Thank you so much. Thank all of you. That. Ah, so good, so good. So we got Halloween coming in. That's a little cute saying, by the way. Trick or treat so others can eat. Who came up with that? You did? Really? You should be up here. Well, because I was thinking about, you know, trick or treat and that. And so I thought, well, maybe what I could do is ask you all some trick questions. You know, as a way for trick or treat, to ask you just some trick questions, such as, do you still cheat at cards? How are you going to answer that one? Do you still cheat at cards? Because this is a church. It's okay. Oh, yeah, some of you come from churches. You're not allowed to play cards. You don't even know what a card is. What's he talking about, cards? I don't know. All right. Well, what about this one? What animals can jump higher than a building? Pretty much all animals, because buildings can't jump. Yes. It doesn't need Halloween candy to make you sick. Just listen to my jokes. What country's capital is growing the fastest? What country, because some of you are traveling, what country's capital is growing the fastest? Ireland, because it's always Dublin.
Stop me laughing.
Bad.
No.
These are bad. They're bad. They're bad. There's no mystery on this. All right, so they were intended to be funny, but obviously the Pharisees and the Herodians are asking Jesus a trick question, and they're not trying to be funny. They're trying to capture Jesus. They're trying to entrap Jesus. They have found a way, they think, in which they can get him in trouble. And so what they do is they're going to ask him, is it lawful to pay the tax? Back in those days, there was a tax that had to be paid, all right? And the Pharisees and the Jews resented the tax because it reminded them that Rome was in charge and that they were under the governorship of Rome. And so if Jesus says that the tax is lawful, well, then he's not really a Jew. See, he's not going to pass the litmus test. But the other part of that group that was with them were the Herodians. Now, the Herodians, okay, you've heard about Pharisees. You know about Pharisees. What about the Herodians? The Herodians aren't a religious party. The Herodians are a political party, and you don't hear about them much. One, it's a really small group, and two, they're not religious, but they all are political, and the Herodians supported Rome. They supported Rome because Rome had put Herod as the puppet governor over Judea. And hello, they are Herodians. Herod, Herodian, are you making the connection? All right, so there's a family connection there. So the Herodians supporting Herod, therefore they support Rome. And if Jesus says paying the tax is unlawful, well, that's treason. So Jesus will get in trouble if he says, don't pay the tax. Here's the Herodians. They'll report him. He'll be, you know, so you see, they think they have him. They think that they have him trapped. No matter which way he answers, they're thinking, ha, we got you now. You're in trouble. There's no getting out of this. But, of course, Jesus is not fooled by the flattery. You know, they come up there with the flattering lips and, oh, we know you're... You know how people are like that, you know. You ever notice that? How your kids come up to you with the sweetest little voice when they want something? Yeah, you ever notice that? Dad, look at you. You look so good. Dad, you're so smart. You know already. Yeah. It ain't happening. That isn't going to work. Yeah. That's not. So they come and Jesus is well aware of how that is working. In fact, our translation said malice. The Greek word would be evil. He's aware of their evil intent. The other places in which that word is used, the Lord's Prayer. Keep me from the evil one. Yeah, yeah, he is aware. Why are you putting me to the test? The test. You see, that's also in the Lord's Prayer. Do not lead us into temptation. That's that. Jesus in the wilderness, a time of trial and temptation, a time of test. Jesus isn't looking at this as just as some kind of a fun and game type of thing. He's well aware that there's other stuff going on there. It's more than just a mental trap. It's more than just a word game. You know, the only thing that the Pharisees and the Herodians have in common is that they don't like Jesus. All right? And they're wanting to cause a problem. And Jesus sees it for what it is. They ask the question. Apparently, Jesus' pockets are empty. And so he says, give me a coin. Let me see a coin. Let me see a coin. Which they have no trouble supplying. You see, now that, too, is... You should have been in Sunday school. There's so much of a backstory to all of this, okay? All right, because supposedly they're in the temple. And he says, show me the coin. All right? Show me the money. Give me a coin. Give me a coin. All right? And they do. Well, they shouldn't have been able to do that. You see, back in those days, you had two different kinds of money. Some of you go to foreign countries. There's a currency exchange that happens. Back in those days, when you came to church, right out there in the foyer, right out there in the narthex, there would be money changers. Remember when Jesus overturned the money changer table? Why? Because you can't come into the church with pagan money. So you have to do an exchange. And, of course, the exchange rate wasn't exactly fair. All right? So you come in the door. All right? Lorraine's the money changer. All right? You hand her a $100 bill, and she gives you $20 credit. All right? So you see how that works. That's why she can go to Hawaii. I wasn't supposed to say that part. I'm sorry. So they show a coin, okay, that shouldn't be in the temple because you... All right, well, why can't it be in the temple? It has a graven image. Remember the Ten Commandments? You won't make a graven image? It's got an image on there. And Jesus says, whose likeness is this? Well, again, the Greek word is image. Image. Whose image is this? And they tell him, you know, it's... Okay, why? It says he's a god and all this other stuff. Jesus, you see... See all the irony that is abounding in all of this? All right? And when he uses that word image, what do you think that does? These are Jews. They remember. They remember. Genesis chapter 1, 27. In the image of God, remember that? God created male and female. He created image. 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 It's all about this. Jesus is trying to minister to these people as well as to the crowd. He's trying to remind them of who they are. He does this in a lot of different ways. We like the phrase, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar. That's a good catchy phrase. That works, okay? We can all say that. It's, you know, can't always use Jesus wept, right? We know that scripture. For God so loved the world. We know that scripture. But most of us could say, render unto Caesar... All right, the things that are Caesar. Okay, well, you can mostly finish that. Well, I thought you could finish that. But again, the better word, the better way to translate that is give back. That's the way it should be translated. Give back. Give back to Caesar the things. But, give back the things that belong to Caesar. If it's his, give it back to him. We don't need it. It's not ours. Not yours. Don't worry about it. Give it back to him. But it's more than that. It's more than that. And here I go into the History Channel because I know you guys love this stuff. All right? I know you live it. You see, between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's like a 300-year time period. All right? It's called the, interestingly enough, called the Intertestamental History. Aren't ministers creative with the way we label things? It's just so wonderful. It's called the and some of you know about the books of the Apocrypha. You've heard about the Apocryphal books, okay? All right. Which Protestants, we don't think that they're the inspired Word of God, but we do find it to be useful because it tells us a lot of information about what happened in that time period. And one of the things that we find out that happened in that time period, all right, is that there was a revolt. There was a fault. Remember, the Jews, one of the things that just kills the Jews is that they're always occupied. You ever notice that in the Bible? All right? God calls them. God leads them. They get out of the land of Egypt. All right? Come now. The promised land. Remember how that's going to be? Cross the Red Sea. Get to go into the promised land. And how long do they stay in that promised land? Not too long. They're messing things up. And because they messed things up, boom, all kinds of bad things happen, all right? And they had David. That was about as best as they could get, all right? Solomon a little bit, and then things kind of went downhill. So they're always occupied. They're always beaten up. If it ain't the Assyrians, it's the Persians. If it's not the Persians, it's the Babylonians. Somebody always taking their milk money all the time, all right? And just got no chance at all. And they're trying to, But in this intertestamental period, when they're under the rule of the Syrians, always uns in there, getting them, beating them up, the Maccabeans, who were Jewish people, said, enough of this. I ain't going to give you our lunch money anymore. And they got a revolt going. For 30 years, they had it going. They had a little rally cry. If I was to say to Americans right now, give me liberty or give me... See, you're patriots. You know how that goes. If in recent history, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask. See how it is? All right. When Jesus uses that word that we translate render, he's actually saying give back. The rally cry for the Maccabean revolt was pay back, give back. It's give back time. That was a phrase that they rallied around. We're going to pay them back in their own currency. You know, you can say, give them a taste of their own medicine. All those types. That was the phrase. So when Jesus uses that phrase, it's the same as give me liberty. It sparks, it reminds them of their own history. He's reminding them of whose image they're made in. He's reminding them of their history, that the fact that they are supposed to be a liberated people, they've forgotten that. They have forgotten that. They have allowed themselves to be distracted by politics and secularism and all these other things. And they have forgotten who they really are and who God's called them to be. This isn't a game of political wits or showing that Jesus is a... How's that going to help you to know that Jesus is more clever than the Pharisees? It doesn't save us from our sins. That doesn't move us closer to God. Jesus is trying to paint for us a much larger, better picture. He is trying to remind us who we are. Because all of us, each of us, are living in an occupied country. There are idols all around us, graven images all about us. And there is tempting voices testing us all the time to lose sight of who we are and what our history is and what God created us to be. And Jesus is desperately wanting us to reclaim that identity. That's what this passage is about. Filling out a tax form is relatively easy as opposed to trying to navigate life and trying to figure out, who is God calling me to be in this circumstance? How can I best carry forth God's image to the world? How is God calling me to act that I might, in a way, bless other people? Through our choices, through our words, through our actions, we reflect in whose image we are made in. One of the things we need to remember, in the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says you can't serve two masters. You're either going to love one or hate the other, or love the other and hate. You can't do that. Now we're coming to the end of his ministry, and he's trying to tell us again, you cannot divide your life. You cannot divide your life. God, let me tell you this right now, God is not interested in your spiritual life. All right? God is not interested in your spiritual life. God is interested in all of your life. And we do not separate ourselves from them. That's what Jesus is trying to say. Don't compartmentalize. Okay, well, Sunday morning I'll be a Christian, but Tuesday in traffic, I'm free. Because I can always come back to God on Sunday and ask for forgiveness. Oh, we are children of God, called to reflect God's grace, God's glory, God's love, God's inclusiveness of all people. With our choices, with our words, with our actions, so that people are able to see a family resemblance. As you're aware, our children are adopted. Now, with Marlena, it wasn't too bad, because she's short. It was easy. She had dark hair, Diana has dark hair, she's short, I'm short, we have this covered. Everybody talked about how she looked like her mom. That's okay. Don't ever tell about the dad. Except for that one time at IHOP. Said I had my chin. I left that waitress the biggest tip ever. Marlena was like 18 months old. It was the first time anybody had ever said she had anything looking like me. But Andreas, I got it. Oh, and all through gymnastics, every practice, I felt like wearing a sign. Yes, he's my son. Yes, he's bigger than me. Thank you for pointing that out. They would. They'd say, but he's so much taller than you. I'd say, well, his mom's tall. But he's so much stronger than you. I said, well, we feed him well. Well, he's so much smarter than you. I'm like, well, okay, I don't know. He watches TV. They weren't able to see the family resemblance in our physicality, but hopefully in the words and actions. There was a reason why he was selected gymnast of the year in his club. It had nothing to do with his ability to do the double twists and turns and all those things. It had everything to do with his character. See, when Jesus looks at a coin, he says, whose image is this? But when Jesus looks at us, he's asking us, whose image are you carrying? Not in your pocket, but in your heart. How is that image reflected in your words, in your actions, in your choices? People, we are living in an occupied country. We are living in a time when more than ever, people need to be reassured that God is present, God is involved, that God's truth will prevail, and that God's love is stronger than any other voice. We are made in the image of God, called to reflect God's glory, called to reflect God's grace, called to reflect God's kindness and likeness in everything that we say and do. Amen. Amen.